Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, fantastic. So, as I said, the title of this talk is called The Power of a Shout, and it's the song that I will be looking at is Shout to the Lord. And so Psalm 95 says, 1-3 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Mm. As I said, it's a Darlene Check song. It was done in the 90s. And it's from the album People Just Like Us. And basically, this song back then inspired me. I think I became a Christian in 96, 97. But I was just still passionate about music, maybe club music and all of that. And I didn't know much about worship music, but I was really inspired by this song. And I didn't get into worship leading much later. Accidentally, by the way, and as God does these things. So I'm going to look at a particular, I'm not looking at all the verses of the song, but I'm going to focus on the chorus, which is, I don't know if we can show them, Sam, shout to the Lord, just the chorus. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing power and majesty and praise to the King. Mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Thank you for that, Sam. So, Psalm 100 says, shout to the Lord. And it, the Hebrew word of that is ruah. And, you know, it's kind of come to mean, especially by breaking, figuratively, we're talking about splitting, to split the ears with sound, i.e. shout for alarm, joy, blow the alarm, cry out the alarm, out aloud, destroy, make a joyful noise, smart shout for joy, sound the alarm. So, throughout the Old Testament, this word is used at least 45 times throughout the Bible. And there is great power in a shout. There is great power in a shout. Shout calls things that are not as though they were. A shout demonstrates enthusiasm, and it brings confidence and determination. A shout releases energy and boldness and passion. A shout changes the atmosphere. And God's word tells us to shout, you know. Shout to God with the voice of triumph and songs of joy. And that's from Psalm 47, verse 1. Shout for joy, Psalm 98, verse 4. Isaiah 26 says, wake up and shout. It doesn't say, wake up and shout at your partner. It doesn't say, wake up and shout at your kids.
Oh, God.
It does say, wake up and shout for joy. You know, as a worship leader, you know, pre-COVID, times when we used to meet, I'm sure we're not here as worship leaders. We're not here to hype you up when we do a service. In actual fact, when we are leading Cecilia and others and Vicky and all those that have been worshiping, you know, our worship service should be filled with expectations to see people's lives change. And I remember when we used to go to our prayer nights, I wonder if any of you can tell me who this is. shouting, actually. And I'm always impressed by this person who's always, yes, Lord, do it, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't know who you know that is, but there you go. Anyway, listen. But, you know, so David said, I will get even more undignified than this. And, yeah, so from an extract from her book, Extravagant Worship, Darlene expresses these words. I want people to sing a new song. I want those who are sad to learn to shout. I want those who are timid to shout for joy. I want people to help. I want to help people see the Father and help them to taste and see that the Lord is good. That the power of a shout, I want everyone to know the power of a shout to the Lord. The Lord, their God, is with them. The shout of the King is among them. Numbers 23, 21. And walls are tumbling down. You know, often we see in the Old Testament, you know, we know the stories of Jericho and the march around those walls for 7 days. We know that in Nehemiah, after 52 days, when the Lord gave them success to build the wall, there was a great shout that could be heard from miles around. And Gideon, with the 300 army, which we recently covered in our other series, Impossible, with Gideon's army, the shout with the breaking of the pitchers, you know, God comes in and confuses the army and they all turn on themselves. So walls are spoken of throughout much of the Old Testament. Walls warded off assassins and protected citizens in a safe area. And some walls were so thick that entire communities were built on top of them. People lived on top of the wall so that they could see, basically, anything coming, friendly or unfriendly. And I believe this morning that many of us Christians and non-believers alike have emotional walls that we have put up over our lives. This coping mechanism is it so that we don't get too close or too hurt. But all too often, those walls that were built for safety become so confining that they do not allow the inner man or woman to be challenged, stretched, or confronted. Some walls were intentionally built to divide and separate people from one another, from other believers. And I know particularly in this time and season that we're in, that could so easily happen even more as a church if we are not diligent in this time and attentive to the will of God in our lives. You see, emotional walls prevent people from entering into the richness of worship instead of protecting us. You know, emotional walls often become strongholds that will eventually destroy us. But the anointing of God pulls down strongholds and breaks the yoke that binds. The name of Jesus pulls down walls. As we lift his name higher, as we lift his name in worship and praise and let our hearts sing to our Maker, we will see confining walls in our lives come tumbling down. Some walls may be very fragile and easily dismantled, while others may need to be attacked with a shout. You know, some of our walls are so thick that they do need dynamite to smash them down. But the dynamite I'm talking about is the dunamis, rhema word of God that will speak into your lives and my lives this morning that will bring down those walls. Some emotional walls are constructed so that inflicted pain can be a guaranteed minimum, or so that love can be received with a minimum of risk. And most walls are a defense mechanism which keep the inner man or woman from receiving any love at all. And I thank the Lord for this church, that we are a church. The world is a church. You take the prophetic word over it with regards to be a church without walls. You know, we are a Maserati church. Amen. Full of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but some of those, we're a bit older, maybe the younger ones won't remember, but there was a song in the 90s, I think, but it used to go something like, I want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that on them I see the, well, you know, then what was that bit? Strongholds come tumbling down and down. It was a bit cheesy, I must admit, but it was wrenched. Wasn't it done to death, that song? And I was there playing it, you know? But, you know, strongholds come tumbling down and down. So turn to your neighbour and say, walls are coming down today. They are coming down today.
Bring them down, Lord.
Bring those walls down. A shout of joy is like a prophetic cry to break obstacles in yours and my life. A shout of praise that comes from the core of who you are and that believes in the divinity and the sovereignty of our God will reap a harvest of blessing. God can break through any size of wall in our lives. He has done this for me time and time again. I have personally seen my own walls of insecurity, pride, mistrust, and fear crumble as I've praised him. And some of those things are in my marriage as well. My wife will testify to that, but I will give you more. It's about giving God his worth because he is worthy. It's not about entertainment or performance, although as some worship leaders, of course, there is an element of performance. You know, often I hear, when we used to meet, often I hear people would say to me, well, Lloyd, you know what? I didn't get anything out of the worship. And, you know, I'd have to pause. And I understand now that even as we meet together on Zoom, that it can be a challenge to be worshiping over on screen. But God's anointing is still here, guys, Amen. You know, and but it's about our hearts and giving God all the adoration he deserves. God. You know, we miss it. We miss the point when we make worship about us. Oh, move me. No, it's about us saying, Lord, it's to you all the glory. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Make his place glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Now, that's from Psalm 66, 1 to 4. For me, what I would like to share with you is that I've gone through a week where a few weeks ago, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've had this neighbor, and he's a very difficult guy. I think there's some mental health issues and stuff like that, but he's given us some real serious problems for me and my family, and, you know, kind of even scared the children a little bit. So my thing is, I was really struggling with this, and I was just thinking, I had a lot of anger as well. And because I was trying to think of a story, and I thought, what was it? And then the Lord said, well, remember. I said, no, I wasn't upset or anything, but I was. Actually, deep down, I was carrying anger and a bit of unforgiveness. And I just thought, I really wanted to deal with the guy, but, you know, as a Christian man, I'm a leader. I can't do that. We're calling the police and all of that. So, but I had to work through that, and I'm still working through that. And I have to release it to the God. To the Lord. Can I praise God now? Can you praise God now? You know, can you praise God now? Yeah, sure, you can. So how do we deal with the disappointment? You know, we must learn to do that because God has given each of us keys to solve our own issues. That sense of anger and frustration, possibly unforgiveness, God has given us the keys to resolve that. You know, forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is freedom. You see, my or your self-worth, security, and significance can only come from God, not what our job is, not what we do. It's not defined by our families or our job titles. My satisfaction and your satisfaction for life must come from our own hearts and not from the applause and the approval of others and permission from others. You know, fulfillment comes from worshiping Him. You know, Joyce Meyer has written a book about the addiction approval. When we're looking for approval from others and we're not looking and focused to Him, you know, that takes away from what God can do in our lives. Now, hear me correctly. I'm not saying that we don't honor one another. We are a church that loves to honor, you know, each other. But all glory and honor does belong to Him. And, you know, I'll say it again, you know, we thank God that C has even been putting the words on throughout this time. And I really thank for that, you know. And Linda Ballack as well, been putting them worship songs every week, day after day, you know. It's so encouraging. So when dealing with disappointment, we must learn to manage our emotions, or our emotions will manage us. And just last week, a couple of weeks ago, I can't even remember now, but I went into, and I came in to see Clive, and I'm doing a pre-record. But I realized I was emotionally, you know, just not myself. And, you know, it just blurted. It wasn't meant to come out that way, but I was thinking about things, family, and it just came out. Because I was just slightly emotionally, not unhinged, but I was emotionally kind of somewhere else. And it came out. And I vomited out. So if you, you know, but Clive was gracious enough to say, do you know what, mate? It's better out than in. Amen. And so, you know.
Amen.
So I guess what I'm saying is this. How are we gonna negate that? How are we going to navigate our way through that? Well, I'm glad you've asked, because I've got some points here how we can deal with that. One of the things we can do is to dwell on truth. You know, let the word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. And that's from Colossians 3:16. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. So it's our thought life. It's you know, are we dwelling on truth? Is it our prayer life? Are we, you know, looking at the word? Are we reading the word? You know, because often you've heard me say, as you read the word is reading you. You know, we have to develop our unseen life of worship. And C.S. Lewis describes worship as inner health made audible, worshiping God. Guys, look, you can't take yourself too seriously. It's about having a sense of humor as well. And, you know, we need to surround ourselves with the right people. Pleasure comes from using yours and my creative gifts at the disposal of His pleasure. Gratification is not from making the top 10 bestsellers list, but by grasping the fact that your creative gift, my creative gift, is used for something that matters for eternity. If we understand this, we will learn to swallow hard, maintain a free spirit, and grow in faith, love, and patience, and contentment. Because Paul said, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, Philippians 4:11. We all need to learn to be content wherever we are and continue to faithfully worship God. Long-term fulfillment is a life that is built on being faithful in and out of season. Commitment to building up others leads to true commitment. And, you know, it was just so amazing to hear Tia last week and seeing, you know, we have that phrase, don't we, that we use, disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And Sam, as a youth leader, pouring into them, and we had poured into Sam, and so it goes on, that cycle. This is our true act of worship. So learn to contend with the little and the much, and you will become stronger emotionally. You know, the defense mechanism of erecting emotional walls will come down. My question to you this morning is, what walls need to be addressed in your life? Is it insecurity? Is it pride? Is it self-reliance? You know, is it walls of defensiveness? When someone pulls you up on something, are you listening to understand, or are you listening to defend? Just ask, you know, I have many meetings with Clive. Just ask my wife, am I listening to understand, or am I listening to defend? You know, it could be fear of the future. How am I going to take care of myself and my family? You know, sometimes it could be that control. Maybe it's shielding loved ones or my children's education or even business and the recession. I guess what I want to say is this. What emotional walls is the Holy Spirit highlighting to you this morning? Two, I challenge you to praise through your circumstance, whether it be depression, anxiety, the fears. And three, last but not least, what is your shout going to be to the Lord as you release your prophetic cry? And if there is anybody new on this morning who wants this relationship with God, speak to your leader or speak to your person. I'm sure we will pray for you, because God will watch over you. You can have this relationship today, right now. So, Lord, just do this prayer with me. If there's anyone there, Heavenly Father, I do want this relationship to you. Forgive me, Lord, when I have worried and I am concerned about the future, because your word says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Also, I thank you, Lord, that I can come right now to you and hand everything over to you. Lord, I want this relationship. Take a minute to think of those things and repent, whatever it is. And for you seasoned Christians, think about what it is you're going to do right now, what it is God is releasing, those three things that God is highlighting. And we say, Lord, come right now. Come right now, Lord. He is your provider, whatever it is. I called someone in the week because God told me to call them. And the Lord wanted me to remind them that their situation is not hopeless. It is hopeful. And God wants you to know, in Jesus' name, that your situation is not hopeless. It's hopeful. Full of hope, full of the Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.